From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
Governor Pritzker, are you thinking about shutting down bars and restaurants, particularly after hearing what Dr. Fauci said?
Yesterday, what we saw was many young people who think they're impervious to this went out and celebrated. And I had my 2:30 briefing yesterday, called out the problem of people on the street. And unfortunately, we haven't seen a lot of movement.
It is lights out for tens of thousands of bars and restaurants across the city and even more across the state. And those who have the capability to offer delivery or pickup are now establishing a new normal.
Governor J.B. Pritzker just announced the state's first fatality, a woman in her 60s here in Chicago, who authorities said was suffering from an underlying medical condition.
Unfortunately, we do anticipate additional deaths. This coronavirus is an equal opportunity virus, no respecter of age, zip code, gender. It can infect anyone, and even healthy people.
Big headline tonight, three major wins for former Vice President Joe Biden, starting right here in Illinois. Take a look at the latest numbers we have for you from right here in Illinois, with 84% of the precincts reporting Joe Biden at 59%, leading Bernie Sanders at 36% tonight.
Today, we held an election. This was a good thing. Governor Pritzker made the right call by allowing it to go on.
I want to thank everyone that voted today, whether you voted for me or not. It was a act of bravery on some level, just to get out to the polling places, knowing that the coronavirus is with us.
Well, it was a subdued election night in Illinois. Election night parties giving way to people checking their cell phones from home. Should we have held that election? We'll talk about that. Also, what a difference a week makes. When we sat down to record this program last week, there were just a few dozen cases of COVID-19 confirmed in Illinois. That number has now jumped. We've also had our first deaths, and unfortunately, that number will only go up as well. Governor J.B. Pritzker has ordered schools to close, bars and restaurants to shut down. He's considered even stronger measures to keep people from gathering together and slow the spread of the coronavirus. And we'll talk about the situation coming up here on State Week. In Springfield, I'm Sean Crawford. All of our panel is practicing social distancing this week. Joining me remotely, Charlie Wheeler. He's an emeritus professor and former director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at UIS. He's also a longtime State House reporter and observer. With us also is the IPR State House editor Brian Mackey and reporter Amanda Vinicky of WTTW's Chicago Tonight. Amanda, good to have you on once again.
Thank you so much. It's good to be back.
Brian, you listened to the governor. The last briefing he had before we sat down to record this show was on Thursday. One of the things that has popped up here has been the idea that New York and California have followed through on, and that is this stay-in-place order telling people to stay home unless they're essential employees. The governor has said he's at least considered that idea. So far, again, as we sat down to record this show early Friday, he has not made that choice. Is that something we're going to have to watch for here over the next couple of days?
I certainly think it's a possibility, although the governor has been very careful and very pointed to point out that even if there is a shelter in place order put in at some point, that people would still be able to go out and seek health care. They would be able to go to the grocery store. They would be able to go to pharmacies, and they would be able to go get gasoline. So it's not as though it would be martial law and you would be arrested for leaving, you know, the front door of your house or anything like that. At least that's what officials are saying. But there is an idea that people are still not taking, even though you can't go to a restaurant or a bar, people are still going out more than they should be. And to the extent that only, you know, first responders and healthcare providers and people like that are the ones who need to get out and about, and everyone else ought to just stay at home as much as possible to prevent this virus from spreading, because testing is still so limited here in Illinois and really most places in America that we still just don't know that, you know, that official number is going up now by more than 100 cases every day, at least for the last couple of days. But that is still thought to be drastically underestimating the actual number of infections that are out there, because it's still very difficult to get a test. You still have to either be a particularly vulnerable member of a vulnerable population, an older person or somebody with an underlying respiratory or immune issue. You have to have come in, you know, come from China or Italy, being overseas, you have to come in contact with somebody who definitely has been confirmed to have it. And that is just, you know, I've heard from healthcare providers who are seeing a lot more people nervous now as this news is penetrating into the, you know, the mass public more. And they're asking, oh, can I get tested? I've had this cough. And if they don't meet these criteria, they're still not qualifying for a test because the officials are trying to ration that supply.
Well, you mentioned the bars and restaurants being closed. The governor did that earlier in the week. Amanda, he seemed almost angry when he made that announcement that he was upset the fact that people had not heeded these orders earlier to stay home, especially on what was an early St. Patrick's Day weekend celebration for a lot of people. Bars and restaurants, and you know, especially some of the bars in the Chicago area, were quite crowded.
Yeah, he was angry. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot was even more ticked off, it seemed like. And so I do think that you heard that from them. That said, that perhaps gets to why we are increasingly seeing of governors, California, New York. Who knows whether this will be on the way for Illinois? There certainly is a lot of rumors, and we don't get into that rumor thing, but as this is happening elsewhere and you're seeing this rapidly develop, I think it's in part a messaging. You know, when you hear, okay, no gatherings of, at that point, leading into St. Patrick's Day festivities, it was 250 people or less. So I think a lot of people may have heard. I mean, I'm not excusing it, but people said, okay, I'm going to go out, go to a bar. I'm not going to parade. I'm going to something where it's a bar. There's typically going to be less than 250 people. And we all saw how that turned out. And so this is sort of perhaps an experiment, a social experiment on both sides in terms of figuring out, okay, what do we need to say to make people understand so that youth realize they can be affected, particularly when we were all young once upon a time, that feeling of invincibility. And again, listening to your government officials in terms of, okay, restaurants and bars are open, so that means what? Can or can't I go to them? And so that's where you have seen increasingly everything get sort of ratcheted up in terms of what is not allowed.
And I'm sure some of these bars and restaurants, not just in the Chicago region where you're at, but across the state, we've been hearing a lot of them are, you know, concerned if they're going to be able to make it through this.
Oh, yeah. And something that I've been watching is while they are allowed to, it's just a ban on dine-in orders. So you can, you know, get takeout, and that's very easy. And a lot of places have gone out of their way to make sure that that is no or limited touch, and even that is done at a distance. I'm increasingly seeing places near where I live stop doing that. I think that's for a variety of reasons. Perhaps they're just not getting the orders because perhaps they weren't set up for that. Some places, you know, you may go to because they are fancy, you like the ambiance, but it's not necessarily where you would get food. Also, part of this is accessing benefits. If you have employees who aren't getting the tips that they are used to, who aren't going to be able to pay the full wage, or a business owner isn't going to be able to do that because of this crisis, they are still working, they can't therefore access unemployment benefits, but if they are laid off, then lo and behold, they can. So it's sort of doing a favor almost to lay them off with the hopes that they can be hired back, is what some chefs and restaurant owners are saying, so that it gives employees more options to access what we're seeing are an increased availability of government benefits for workers who are affected, and even more so if unions and restaurant groups that have banded together and are demanding more from their governments if they get their way.
Charlie, nobody has seen anything quite like this, I think, in our lifetimes, but I wanted to get your thought on Governor Pritzker. He's been at the forefront of this in Illinois. He's been out every day giving updates. Not all these decisions, of course, are popular. I know some restaurant owners, bar owners were not happy to be shut down, things of that nature. But get your thoughts on the job that Pritzker has done so far from what you're seeing.
I think he's done a pretty good job. He's not overreacted at all, and he's been kind of cautious, but he's also taken some forceful steps. For example, telling the bars and restaurants to close, telling schools to delay until the end of the month. Now, I expect that will be continued even further, because I know in Chicago, Mayor Lightfoot has postponed school for, what, another 6-8 weeks?
And yeah, so, it won't be until mid-April, April 21st.
Yeah. And so he's in a difficult position because Illinois is not in the best financial shape in terms of the state government. And for that matter, neither is Chicago. And shutting everything down really causes an economic hit. People not going to bars and restaurants, there's no sales tax being paid. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that the Pritzker administration did, which is going to be very helpful to small businesses, is that they've said, okay, the sales tax collections that you were supposed to turn into us on Friday the 20th, we're going to delay those. And so that's going to be helpful to the cash flow for some of these small businesses. I think he's done a pretty good job. Now, people faulted him for not calling off the election, but I don't believe he has any legal authority to do that. He can't just arbitrarily stop an election. He's not the dictator of some South American country where you can just say, okay, we're not going to go to the polls. He did a lot of stuff that he's allowed to do under a section of the statutes that authorizes a governor to take emergency action in certain situations. But stopping an election is not one of those.
Well, he did allow, the election was allowed to go on, whether that was Pritzker's decision or not. But, Brian, a lot of people decided not to participate. They're concerned about getting out in crowds, and rightly so. Turnout appears to have been down for this, and, you know, maybe some other solution could have been made. I know some other states were able to make changes.
Yeah, it was down, but not out. It wasn't the lowest ever, apparently, although things are still being counted at this point, but so we don't have final numbers. There are people who make the case, well, we could have gone to a vote by mail system, but all these things I think would have required statute. And I think it's worth remembering where
order.
We were. Say again?
Or a court order.
Or a court order, sure. But I think it's worth remembering that this election really started a month ago with early voting in different parts of the state. And at that point, coronavirus was still a thing that most people either hadn't heard of or thought of as a problem in China. And, oh yeah, there were a few cases coming back to the U.S. Illinois had its first case in January, but it really didn't enter the public consciousness until about a week and a half ago when the major sports leagues started canceling their seasons. And I think that's when people really started to take notice. And there are still people that I run into. I went back to the Capitol once this week, the one time I've been out of my house all week to get some equipment that I would need actually for this very broadcast. I went late at night. I wore gloves. I kept my social distance as much as I could. But I did run into, somebody on that trip who said, oh, they were watching a certain cable news channel and heard that a vaccine is just around the corner and, you know, everything's going to be fine. And I mean, there is a lot of misinformation and confusion out there. And where you get your information from about this virus, those of us who are paying attention to government officials and public health authorities and scientists have one view. If you are only listening to, you know, in some sort of ideological bubble, you might have a very different view of what's happening here. And so I think that there's a lot of people who just don't understand what's happening. And in terms of how that affected the election, it's not clear to me that the governor had a lot of great options. And ultimately, he and what was it, two other states, I guess, in the end, went ahead with this. And I talked to a friend of mine in Ohio, and they're not even sure that the state really had the legal authority to do what it did. And, you know, then the question also becomes, and this is the question Governor Pritzker asked, if not now, then when? This infection is only going to get worse. The public health quarantining measures are likely to get more stringent rather than less stringent. And so when, if not now?
Well, and I would argue, too, in Illinois, as you said, voting early is not all that difficult. I will say that I voted in every primary and general election, generally in person, since 1962. Except for the years I was in the Peace Corps when I did it by absentee ballot. I decided middle of last week that I was not going to take the chance of going out to the polls. So I went online, ordered a mail-in ballot from the Sangamon County clerk. It got delivered to my house. I filled it out. And my daughter has put me under house arrest, took it down to the clerk's office, and it was no problem. And that was available for everybody. And so it's not like it was back in the day when you had to show up in person to vote, or you had to have almost like an excuse from your doctor to get an absentee ballot. So I think the opportunity was there for people to avail themselves of the right to vote if they wanted to.
Amanda, let me go back to you on that question from earlier about Governor Pritzker. At times there have been some criticism of his, communicating with the public, things of that nature, and reporters as well. What do you think of what he's been doing so far? Has he been effective with what he's trying to get out to people?
I do think daily briefings and trying to be upfront about the situation, how many cases there are in Illinois, how many deaths, unfortunately, there have been in Illinois, siding with Chicago's mayor, given, of course, that this is where the greatest population is. And so spread can happen anywhere, as we have constantly heard from officials. This is a virus that doesn't know race, doesn't know boundaries, and it does, however, know people, and that is where population does come into play. So trying to speak in a joint voice, there has been all of that. I will say it has been difficult to get information from the Department of Public Health about that outside of those briefings, so that is not to, throw anybody under the bus. Clearly, they are trying to manage a lot of intake and presumably a ton also of media requests, but that is an area where getting into a lot of the specifics from that department has been difficult. But the broad view, yes, I think Governor J.B. Pritzker has been out in front. He has been clear about what things mean. He has been issuing executive orders that are very consistent with the messaging that he makes. And frankly, media organizations, by and large, have, in my opinion, done an upstanding job of being accurate, being fair, presenting fact-based information, and doing things like streaming the gubernatorial briefings live on the radio, on WUIS, on our Facebook feeds, etc.
Brian, get your thoughts on that as well. You've been following the governor most days. He seems to be getting the word out there to people. He's bringing in these health officials as well. So it's not just him giving a political type of speech. He's up there providing some information.
Yes, he is. And I mean, yes, I think the public health department has been overwhelmed with responses. I have gotten my emails answered, but I haven't been asking for, a lot of detail. I don't know what other people are trying to get. But he is out there. He has certainly made the point that, and this is not just him, but other media outlets have looked at this and said, boy, it's really the governors in this country and the mayors who have led the response for much of the time. Now, the federal government and in the White House in particular have gotten more actively involved in the past week or so. They seem to be taking it more seriously, even though the president downplayed the threat that this posed for a long time. While the governors were out there, as Governor Pritzker said, and when he was on Meet the Press last weekend, he said that, governors have been on their own. They have not felt like they've had the federal support from the White House. And I mean, that raises some concerns, because what we've seen in Italy is that, and from China, is that one of the real needs as this thing takes off is additional hospital space and additional ventilators. And in China, they were able to have their workers come in and assemble temporary buildings, overnight in some cases, or at least in a very short time frame, to deal with the quarantining and the very aggressive suppression measures that they took. And we're not there right now in Illinois. I'm not sure that we will go that route in America. But there is a question about why, can states individually rise to this challenge? And I mean, it's remarkable to me that even as Governor Pritzker is sitting there saying stay home, and Mayor Lightfoot is saying, angrily telling people, if you're sick, stay home for God's sake. And at the same time, the governor of West Virginia, which was the 50th of the 50 states to report to at least know about an infection. We think that there's more infections than are being tested. But he was out there telling people to go out to eat still. Mm-hmm. It's just remarkable the difference, and that this is left to the states as opposed to a more coherent federal response.
Well, and Brian, you sort of touched on it there, but I think also the just disparity between the federal messaging and what you hear from Governor Pritzker, particularly as it comes to tests. Because I think that really is one of the things that either people are very worried, if they have the sniffles, if they have a fever, what is this? Do I have the coronavirus? And that's a very scary thing for people, and that's causing anxiety. On the other hand, people who may be doubting this and believe that it is a hoax perhaps see these low number of cases and say, what's the big deal? We're not seeing that many tests, and of course we do know why. And then there is the exponential increase and how that can, again, spike anxiety and fears because we are going to, no matter what, see a rise in tests because some of these social distancing measures take time to take effect. It takes, from what we know, 14 days for an infection, perhaps that's sort of the incubation period. And so then you have this 14-day time. It's going to take time for all of this to happen. But also, we are getting more tests. But the governor has said it is still nowhere near enough. And that is certainly a source of frustration for him. But I think beyond that, it is a source of potential danger for everyone in terms of what the lack of tests mean as we have our government trying to nip any sort of source of outbreak in the bud.
Yeah, and I think, too, Charlie, I want to go to you on that because we have seen state government and the federal government not always on the same page on a lot of issues. And, you know, there'll be a lot of bickering back and forth. But on something as serious as this, I don't know that I've ever seen the two at times so far apart on what the states say they need and what they're really getting from the federal government. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think there has been a disconnect, and particularly initially on, I think governors were taking it a lot more serious than the federal government. Not the scientific community and the federal government, but some of the elected officials. And in my mind, some of the stuff that was done federally was done without much forethought. And I think you could see the evidence of that over the St. Patrick's Day weekend at O'Hare Airport and at other major airports around the country, where the federal government says, okay, we're shutting down flights from Europe. And people who are there, American citizens, think, oh my God, I got to get home. And so, and at the same time, the federal government says, we have to do this social distancing, we should not have large groups. And so people all come flying into O'Hare and the other airports, and you have these huge masses of people, thousands of people, all crowded together in an airplane terminal, waiting hours to go through customs, go through testing. And it's the kind of thing that totally enraged Pritzker and Lightfoot, and rightly so. And if you're going to say, okay, we're going to stop letting people come here from Europe, you have to have some plan. You have to be thinking ahead and saying, now, all the Americans are over there now. They may want to get home. We maybe are going to see a big influx of people coming into the airport. Do we have the personnel and the equipment to be able to test all these people? Maybe we should ramp it up.
Amanda, is that...
And, you know, and Charlie,
go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to get in there and say that, you know, it's fascinating, the little addendum to that, to the story Charlie just told. Yeah, the governor was mad, and he, the way he managed to get attention of the White House on this, apparently, was to tweet a crack about how, since this is the only, you know, medium that the president and vice president seem to care about, I'm going to take my message here. And then he had a tweet that the White House needs to get its bleep together, and the bleep was, you know, he used, like, the characters above the numbers, you know, in the classic cartoon. Yeah. So, but he said the White House needs to get its stuff together. And then he said that night after that tweet, he got a call from a White House staffer complaining about the tweet, not about the actual problem. And then finally, after he was on Meet the Press on Sunday, the vice president did call him and they conferred, and he felt like finally the federal government was taking the situation at O'Hare Airport seriously.
And just a few seconds left here, but Amanda, has that situation, of course, for those of us not in the Chicago region, has that situation been improved since the weekend?
Yes, it has, and it was actually in pretty short order remedied. They doubled the number of staff at Customs, and so, yes, that does appear to have, by and large, been taken care of, and probably also some of that is that there hasn't been this massive flux. People really hurried home, and now, of course, you have the government that is discouraging any international travel.
All right, let's go to our notes from the field. Charlie, let's start with you.
Well, one of the issues that we only talked about in passing was the fact that we did have a primary election, and the victors can congratulate themselves, and the losers can say, okay, wait till next time. But I went through for the General Assembly the candidates who were running from both political parties, and if you go through the seats that are up in the Senate, for example, there are 21 seats that are up. 17 of them are held by Democrats. But of every Republican who is on the ballot in November for the Illinois Senate wins, the maximum number of Republican senators would be 25, which means that Democrats are guaranteed a majority. And in the House, the Republicans would need to win 43 of the 48 competitive races for them to have the 59 majority. So it looks pretty safe for the Democratic majority in the House as well going forward.
Okay, Brian?
Yeah, the Chicago Tribune editorial board made an interesting choice toward the end of the week. They published an op-ed by former Governor Rod Blagojevich offering advice to Governor Pritzker on coronavirus. Governor Pritzker, who's gotten pretty good marks from most of the punditocracy and people like that, as they're evaluating what he's done. Governor Blagojevich proposed calling special sessions, which those of us who lived through the endless summers of special sessions, yes, that is the reaction that is appropriate.
I wonder, the decision of the Tribune to run that, was that kind of a parody?
I think
it was trolling. I honestly think it was trolling. And Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune's own veteran political reporter, pointed out that a former aide to Blagojevich in a book that came out within the last year or two pointed out that he impersonated Blagojevich on a national security call because the governor couldn't be bothered to participate.
And Amanda.
I will try and fit in a couple here. For one, since we talked about the election, when the General Assembly does come back, and of course we are unclear given that sessions have been canceled due to the coronavirus, one measure that a Senator Julie Morrison is planning to introduce would expand vote-by-mail efforts so that everybody would proactively be sent a ballot to vote from home versus needing to request one in the hopes of increasing turnout in the future. If, God forbid, there is ever any other situation like this, or just in general. I'll also add sort of an interesting one from up here, given that this is a rapidly evolving situation and we know that supplies are at a premium. There's a distillery, actually in Ravenswood, I believe I did a story once upon a time when I was working for Illinois Public Radio on it. It's called Koval Distillery. They make spirits, and they have now changed their manufacturing of liquor and instead are producing sanitizer that will be sent to healthcare facilities.
Just don't get them mixed up, though. So that's all the time
we
have.
Drink the ladder.
That's all the time we have for State Week. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler, Brian Mackey, and Amanda Finicky of WTTW Chicago Tonight. Get a podcast of our show at nprillinois.org or on the NPR One app. Production assistance for the program provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Sean Crawford.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.